All right, everyone. So my name is Steve Pappas from Panviva. You've heard Panviva a few times today, and you know we're very proud of that fact that more than half of the members here are partners of ours. We don't really call you customers. So I asked Dennis to kind of front Angela's talk a little bit because she probably won't tell you the whole story. And I want to give you the strategy from what we saw as a partner watching Angela's journey. And very similarly, I mean, Michelle is on the same journey at Presbyterian, Angie at Health First, Geisinger will be too at some point too, and many of our partner customers are embarking on that from an HPA perspective, from the plan. We are translating that right into the, you know, hospitals and the provider systems that are part of that. But we really started the journey with Health Alliance. So originally the health plan here is an HPA when Angela decided, after letting one of our first customers go first, be the guinea pig, and that was Health New England. After they were done, then Angela said, okay, now I'll go. But really what happened, it really kind of expanded throughout Health Alliance and went to many of the different departments. And we saw that really what drove it was Angela, right? As Michelle drives, as Angie drives, et cetera. And Angela had a strategy. It wasn't quite a take over the world kind of a strategy, but it was how can we take this throughout the entire system? And how can we get everybody on the same page? Because one of the biggest problems she used to tell me about was everything was siloed. The plan was over here, and every part of the hospital system at Carle was all siloed. And she wanted to break through that, but it took her a while of convincing. So we partnered with her on that journey to try and make that happen, as we would with anyone here. And the first thing she did was she reached out and she said, Steve, I need 50 licenses. Don't ask why. I just need 50 licenses for a few months to get some people interested. And of course, my answer to Angela is always, okay, you got them. As it would be to anybody here too. So we realized we were on this journey with her. And what emerged was her grand vision was this needs to be enterprise-wide, not just from a sale perspective, but from how it needs to operate properly. Because if one group is using one system and another group's using another system, they're done totally differently. There's not a single methodology. There's not a standardized way of doing things. There's not the ability to say, okay, well, we're making a change, and nobody else knows it. She saw the vision of what the organization needed. So we started the process of helping her justify the ROI of going enterprise-wide. And the way we approach enterprise-wide is, you know, once you get to 20 or 25% of your employees, we usually recommend, let's talk about enterprise-wide. It's not going to be a lot more money, but taken all you can eat. When that happened, all of the barriers were removed for her. I would say, you know, almost every hurdle you had to go over was dropped because now it wasn't, well, we can't take anything out of our budget. Now it's like, oh, you're going to give us licenses and now we could do that same thing? Okay, let's do it, right? So that it was just basically an effort. But the other thing that Angela did really well is she built a center of excellence that transitioned both the plan and the hospital system. And she has four people, right? So she's up to four full-time people that are building the content. And what they're doing is they're acting like a mini consulting company inside of the organization. They'll go in, they'll ask all the questions, you know, what are your needs, what's going on? They'll do everything we trained them to do, they now do inside. And they'll do a discovery, they'll scope out what the needs are, they'll do kind of a demo with their content, and then they'll start off the process and then engage that group. Whether it's pediatrics, right, or whether it's, you know, OBGYN, whatever the group is, they'll engage them and say, okay, now who in your organization can we train to be able to put the information in and make it sticky within the organization, right? So the center of excellence was the next thing, and now she's on the probably the final leg of the journey is how do we integrate the knowledge system into everything else we do, right? So now we are embarking on another journey with her on integrating into their Epic system. So once it's in there, then it's kind of an end-to-end solution. But my thing and why I wanted to do this was I wanted to tell you really what her journey was because the presentation doesn't necessarily talk about the journey itself. And we as a vendor, we see these things from like behind the curtain and we just applaud, you know, as we do everyone here, Michelle and Angie and everyone, we just applaud, but you know, we marvel at what our customers do and how they really see an innovative way of approaching a better care system. And that's what we ultimately want to provide. And I think that will take you into, now give you the background of what Angela is going to be talking about in what a seamless journey really means. And hopefully that gives you some background. And I'm just here for color commentary. And if Angela needs me, she'll call on me.
Hello.
And I'll keep this. You want me to keep this up there? Or?
I'll keep it.
Okay.
We're good.
What are you trying to do? I want to see my notes.
Oh.
Well, this could be interesting. I may be doing this entire presentation without my notes. And I was building three presentations within the same 2 weeks. So who knows what I'm going to be talking about?
Let me see if I can do that. Or Kristen, do you know how to pull up the notes?
While we're doing that, I'll do the introduction part of it. So my name is Angela Beidelman. I am the director of the Patient Care Contact Center for CARL, which is the provider portion of our integrated healthcare system. I've been with the organization for 22 years, the majority of that time on the health plan side, which is known as Health Alliance. I worked my way up through the operational areas as lead auditor, audit manager, and then became director of customer service. Seems like a strange pathway to go, but it was part of my own personal career development that led me into working with call centers. I spent 8-9 years running call centers, coming to the Health Plan Alliance conferences, and a little while ago, our chief operating officer realized we had a struggling call center on the provider side, our reasonably new scheduling center, and two successful call centers under two separate directors on the health plan side. And in his wisdom, he took those two call centers, combined them together under one director, and sent me to work over on the provider side, which was very exciting for me. One of the things we've talked about at the HPA conferences for years is why don't our provider wings tap into the knowledge of how to take care of our customers that the health plans do so well. The other opportunity that it gave me was a chance to work on something else we've been talking about at the HPA conferences for a decade. How do we create a seamless experience for our employees and our patients' members through the prior authorization experience? Prior authorization is a very hot topic, not only for our... It's all right. I'll deal with it.
It doesn't detect the thingy.
Not only is it difficult for our employees, it's difficult for our patients and our members, who are our customers, whether you're a patient or a member. So I wanted to stop and think about what would a seamless experience feel like? When I bought my last new car, not only did I meet with my salesperson and my sales manager, I met with a service manager. Here are my expectations. I want to buy a car from you. I will call for my regular maintenance, but if something goes wrong, I want to be able to drive up to your door, hand you my key, and have you deal with it. I am not mechanically inclined. My beloved fiancé in the back of the room is not mechanically inclined. I don't want to have to worry about anything. I was leaving a conference earlier this month, and all of the bells and whistles went off in my car and said, you've got a low tire. Okay. Drove to my dealership, which was luckily not far down the street. As I get out of my car, I hear the air escaping my tire. Walked over, handed him my key. I said, there's a problem over there. deal with it. They took my car away, sent me over to the lounge, said, have a cup of coffee, watch some television, we'll be right back with you. 15 minutes later, they handed me a chunk of metal longer than a ballpoint pen that had come out of my tire. Said, we've been keeping your tires in stock. Here is a key to the car you'll be driving for the evening. We'll have you fixed by tomorrow at lunch. I went home, went to my morning classes, came back at lunch, didn't have to call and check and see if maybe it was done. They handed me the key to my car that had been washed and vacuumed, and I was on my way. That's what I expect out of a seamless experience. So, okay, so it's a BMW. Sorry, Henry Ford. So I knew as I wanted to work on that seamless experience for our members, for our customers, for our patients, what I was going to use was PanViva. That is an application that I brought into the organization that I am obviously passionate about and that I believe can support our employees to give a better experience for our customers. So when the chief operating officer asked me to go over to the provider side, I said, I'm happy to serve wherever you need me, but I'm taking PanViva with me. So that center of excellence transitioned from the health plan side to the provider side, and I was able to maintain my business relationship with PanViva. So what is a common consumer experience in the world of prior authorization? I call my primary care doctor for an appointment. Then I call a specialist that they've told me I need to go to for an appointment. Then I call my insurance company to make sure that specialist is in network. And then I wait. And then I call again because no one's called me back to tell me what's going on with my referral to that specialist. And then after all is said and done, I get surprise charges. We hate to admit it, but that is still a common experience in our industry as a whole. What does a consumer actually expect? My PCP refers me to a specialist who calls me. Says, I understand your primary care doctor has sent you to see us. When can we get you in for a visit? They want that prior authorization to already be done for them. And if there's any diagnostic testing that has to happen before that specialty visit, they want that scheduled for them. They're willing to wait, as we've been able to figure out, up to about 5 days before they're like, okay, you're taking too long. Now, in that 5 days, remember, I want all of those things to have happened. I want you to have already determined whether or not prior authorization is required, to have already obtained that prior authorization, that it has been approved by my insurance company, and that you've called me with an appointment. And I want to know the coverage, and I want to know the cost, and I shouldn't have to ask you for that. You should be forthcoming with that information. You don't want to be, okay, I've got my appointment, I'm focused on that, I'm sick, I'm being sent to a specialist, and you don't want to wait until that bill shows up before somebody tells you, oh, by the way, this isn't for free. Tell me that information up front. So what are the barriers to that? Scripting. Of course, we don't want our representatives to sound like we've written out every word for them. But we do want to make sure they have the information available so the message they're giving out is consistent across our integrated healthcare system. The last thing we want to hear is, oh, well, your insurance company didn't get the PA processed yet. Well, your doctor didn't submit it right. All within an integrated healthcare delivery system. Knowledge. We don't want to have customer service representatives who don't know what's being done on the other side. Well, we submitted your PA, but we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know what their process is. We have no idea. Processes. We don't want a system where the physician puts the order into Epic, and then the order sits there because, well, maybe we've got somebody who is new in that area and doesn't even realize that the work queue there they're supposed to be looking at. It's happened. As we did an audit this year, we found a work queue, the orphaned work queue. And if you have orphaned work queues, you may have them and not realize it. We had requests out there that were over 160 days old because no one knew who was supposed to be working that work queue. And systems. No, Epic on the provider side, and we still use a system called the MC400, which we are actually very passionate about, our system from the 1980s that we tried to replace once and found out that our old legacy system was actually still top-notch. However, it's not integrated with Epic. They're separate systems. So the systems aren't going to talk to each other. We have to have something that's going to provide that bridge for our employees. Because just as excited, happy employees can make excited, happy customers, a seamless experience for our employees is necessary to create that seamless experience for our customers. Now, have any of you, do you work with Evicor in your groups? There's a few of you. We engaged with Evicor this year. Well, we started it last year. To augment a couple other relationships we already had, we use Clear Coverage for prior authorization review. We have our own team of dedicated nurses that do prior authorization review. We teamed up with Evicor this year to provide additional knowledge in area subspecialties that we didn't have represented on our team, and to help us make sure that we're meeting medical necessity for our patients, and also provide cost savings for the health plan. The downside is we went live with this in April. This is what happened on our provider side. Our denials shot up. Well, of course, we didn't plan to save money for the health plan and cost money for the provider system. That's not the end goal. Where did we go wrong? Did we include our provider side during all of our meetings to get started? Absolutely. Weekly meetings with the health plan and the provider system. We were all together, we were all talking about it. Everyone thought we were ready, but we had this rather nasty spike in our denials. So what happened? We brought a team together that included revenue cycle at the head because it was a financial impact, and the vice presidents and the directors and the frontline managers, and we started working our way through where did we go wrong? Well, it was in the prior authorization process that we thought everyone was playing from the same playbook, and they weren't. One of the largest centers that processes referrals is mine, the referral center, and we had zero denials based on procedural errors. We were the only area in the entire provider delivery system that had zero procedural denials. So guess who got to be the center of excellence? That was us. We already had all of our processes documented in Panviva. So we've been going through a process for the past several months of working one-on-one with different areas that were having a large number of denials or excessive turnaround time for their referrals. We brought them in, we hosted them in class. Every class got to go home with a parting gift. Their own licenses to Panviva. I was able to do this because of finishing that enterprise-wide agreement earlier this year. I went from having leaders say, this is fantastic, but I don't have time to write the business case to get it for my department, to this is fantastic, may I have it right now, please? I have a waiting line out the door of departments that want this. As each group came in, we went through an evaluation process. Is this something that we need to clean up your problem, and you'll take it over from there? Clean up your problem, train you on how to do it, and you'll take it from there. Or clean up your problem and leave your processes with us, and we increased our staff. So we've had a nice blend. Some areas have been able to say, you know what, just get us dug out of the hole, and we'll go from there. We've had some areas that after they come in and train with us, you guys already know what you're doing. Here's my FTE, here's my work queue, deal with it for us. deal with it for us. I understand that from my car shopping experience. Deal with it for us. So we've been able to take Panviva as one of our solutions to unify our scripting, to unify our knowledge, to unify our processes, and to unify our systems. That Center of Excellence team that Steve so nicely queued up for me, one thing that we've been able to do is to be very careful in watching when an update comes from one area that touches other business units. Simple example, Irma's coming in, Evacor had to evacuate. The health plan's customer service department sent out an email, said, here are the instructions on what we need to do with our prior authorization calls as Evacor is not in their offices. There's a hurricane on the way. They sent it to our Panviva authors and administrators, said, please update this in the system. So there's an announcement and an updated procedure of what we should be doing for the next couple days. Immediately, our administrators said, well, my scheduling center needs to know this, my referral center needs to know this, but I need to check with medical management, who owns that Evacor relationship, and make sure that this information is accurate. Sent it out to our subject matter expert for medical management, who said, yeah, that's not exactly the message that we want to be giving out. Hang on just a moment, let me recraft you something else. Crafted us a new set of steps that was different from what we'd been given by one of the business leaders and got it out to all four areas so that we were sharing the same message. So Panviva, as our enterprise-wide knowledge management system, is allowing us the opportunity to have the carrier and the provider sharing workflow documents. Big deal for us is to be able to have those conversations across the board. We found out another simple area, one of our new ads this year, we got all of our front desk staff working off of the scheduling rules that we created for the call center. One of the departments was talking to pre-op. Pre-op says, well, you need to be using this Panviva support point thing. We just got it about a week ago, but it's got all of our provider rules in it, and we don't have to remember which doctor has which quirk, which are not all in Epic. There are still some quirks. The providers, they don't want to put it in Epic, but they want to make sure you do it this way every time. That's going in there. Pre-op says, oh my gosh, that'd be fantastic. Let's add in the pre-op rules and then give it to us. Great. We added in the pre-op rules. We sent it back to the primary care offices where these doctors function and said, well, let's make sure that those rules are what you're scheduling to. Primary care offices said, well, that's not exactly right. The rules need to look more like this. Pre-op says, well, why are you asking them at all? We schedule all the pre-op visits. And the primary care offices said, no, actually, we schedule pre-op visits too. The two areas didn't even know they were both scheduling pre-op visits. We, as Panviva Primary Care of Excellence Center, were able to drive those conversations. I've been working with my team just in the past month at how to have those conversations, how to introduce the business leaders to each other. And make that become a positive outcome. As we can continue to unify those processes, whether it's within the clinic, whether it's between the clinic and the health plan, that's going to continue to make things easier for our employees, which is going to make it easier for our customers. Some of the things that we added in, you know, determined diagnostic request status, step by step. You'll have this in your handouts. You take your if-then sentences all the way down to, is it a new request? Is it a pending request? Are you getting the call from the physician's office or the payer's office? Every one of those step-by-step if-then sentences is what you're breaking your knowledge down to for your staff. We have referral team guidelines, all of the formularies for every different carrier. Because on your provider side, your own health plan may not be the only carrier they're having to deal with. And that's one thing that we were always getting reminded. When I was on the health plan side, I couldn't understand. It's like, well, but, you know, we're an integrated system. How we do things should be, you know, second nature to you. Yeah, we get it, but you are not our only carrier. We also have to remember how the dreaded Blue Cross Blue Shield does things. Aetna, United, we have a lot to remember. So documenting all of that for them. We're working in the formularies is actually a particularly tricky one for us. We've realized in dermatology, we have an opportunity to save a lot of money because our dermatologists have this little habit of always prescribing the med that they know best. And it may not be the one that's on the formulary. So our staff are spending time putting in the referral, sending it into the insurance company for something we know good and well is never going to get approved. But the physician won't write a different order until they get that denial. So now we're using this to educate our providers. Say, here, let's look it up first. Let's see whether or not what you want to prescribe is on the formulary before you make the employees spend the time and your consumers spending the waiting time for something to go through a process that is always going to get denied. How to do your PA status codes, more if-then sentences. We are able to have this at the fingertips of our employees and have the provider side and the health plan side both able to look it up using the same documents. Resulting experience, your customer needs are met. Our carrier has won the J.D. Power Award twice. Once, the year after we went live with Panviva in our call centers. And a second time this year as we were trying to integrate to a brand new prior authorization process. If we can pull it off next year, I will really be impressed. The provider reduces their denials. Our joint venture partners are starting to engage with us. We have several joint venture partnerships across Illinois and the Midwest, and they called me and said, we'd love to come see how you're using this Panviva tool. And we let them in the door, and they came in, and well, you know, quite frankly, they wanted to know how we were using that, but they had also heard about this referral center concept to be able to make your prior authorization process easier. We said the two go together. We have the structure, and now we have the software that helps to support that structure. And of course, you're mitigating your risk. If you have across the organization everyone using the same tools, the same scripting, and share the same knowledge, you're going to cut down on your errors. And those errors cost the company a lot of money. So I think it's been really important to us to have that partnership with Panviva. A lot of your areas are using it in the health plan call centers, but you can do so much more with it if you take it enterprise-wide. One of the projects that we're starting next week, as soon as I get back, I'm really excited about. The health plan has made the commitment to eliminate an entire application. The resource center, the reference library that they've been using for their policies and procedures, med policies, member materials since 1998, 1999, been using the same application. They're going to eliminate that entire application and put all of that information into Panviva's support point. What that's going to allow us to do is to have that consistency of how that information is displayed to all of the health plan. That's going to have all of the health plan employees using this at the same time. You can tie it directly into the workflow itself. As you're going through your workflow, here's the policy and procedure on it. We can build out the policy and procedure into the step-by-steps, or we can just link to the policy and procedure. We already have, as a couple of you have talked about, all of our benefits built into support points. What we're driving for in my dream world, and well, if you've come to very many of these conferences with me, you understand it's all about Angela's dream world. In Angela's dream world, when you've got a customer service representative that is quoting something that is out of a member's materials, say, well, you know, the rule on newborns is, and this is the rule for newborns, which is on page 12, paragraph 3 of your policy book. Have all of that information tied in. That's going to take time, of course. But we're going to be able to do this because we have chosen to take the application enterprise-wide. If this is something you have not done yet, I encourage you to talk to Steve, to talk to Dave. The one thing they were able to do for me was to work through what I needed to go to my executives to get this accomplished. It was, you know, where are your pain points? Where are your barriers? Where can we fix this for you? I went from a few business leaders that were interested in putting into their areas, but just could not make to the commitment to, quite literally, I have somebody contact me every 2 to 3 days. When are we next? When are we next? The one that I didn't expect that also ties in the prior authorization process is we have our own DME facility, Carl Medical Supply. I was going to go knocking on their door late 2018, early 2019. They came to me about a month ago and said, well, late 2018, we are changing the way our employees do their entire jobs. People who have been in their roles for 10 to 15 years will not know how to do their jobs anymore. We would love it if you would bring Panviva into our side of the organization now. We have identified that we are an area of loss for the company. We are not doing our prior authorizations correctly. We are not submitting our claims correctly. And we now know this, and we can't in good conscience go much longer without some way of helping our employees make sure they're doing it correctly. So the faster I can get this in place, the faster we'll be able to plug that leak. I'll stop there. Questions for either me or my business partner, Steve?
Questions?
Thank you for your presentation. I love to see how other people are using the system. How many people do you have working on the configuration of SupportPoint?
We have a blended approach. So I have my Center of Excellence, which is 3 Panviva administrators. They're the individuals that are responsible for that, those upfront demonstrations, the blueprinting, the business discussions. And we've just hired on our first author, who's hands down keying all day long. What I mix that with in different areas as we're going through the implementation process, we always train 1 to 2 individuals in the department and have them help with the initial build. That allows my administrators to watch how well the individuals they've selected bond with the process, how to build, how to make sure you're having that consistent display of information, and be able to do that efficiently. If the individuals that they've selected are a successful match with the application, we allow them to retain author licensing, and they are able to continue to build. We've had some areas that just don't have that type of person in their area, so then that they relegate the building to us. My initial goal is to be able to have that team of 3 is 1 administrator and author for the health plan, 1 for primary care, 1 for specialty care. Then when we get into the inpatient unit, I'll build out for that area as well.
Other questions for Angela, or examples of that you may have of working enterprise-wide on projects like this? Angela is another one of those people whose journey we've been following for the last,
10 years.
Exactly. As she's gone this through this, and I think what is great about this is that when we talk about customer experience, we always talk about call centers, you know, the very obvious places. But when you stop to think, as we said yesterday, that a definition for succeeding in a retail market space is how easy are we to do business mm-hmm. with, that cuts across all areas of operations, and we often ignore those. And creating that seamless experience at those touch points is as critical as the call center.
The 2 areas waiting to sign up next on the health plan side are the claims departments and our billing, enrolling, and cash services area. We want to get billing, enrolling, and cash services up and running on at least what we provided to our call centers before we go through the next open enrollment period, which starts really, really soon. But by now, we are to the point we've got enough content built that we can create a landing page for a new department and just turn them on with the content we've built for the call centers and at least start to get them on the same page, then circle back later and build custom content.
Any other parts of the discussion? Thank you, Angela. Appreciate it.